Fear the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 3 is over, but we're just getting started here on Fear the Walking Dead Recap here on Post Show Recaps. And now, here we are, the Patrick and Susu of podcasting. I'm Rob Sisterian, here's Josh Wigler. Josh, how are you?
Which one am I? Am I Patrick or Susu?
You're Patrick.
I'll be Susu. My wife's aunt's name is Susu.
Yeah.
And she has a new baby, and the baby is just starting to talk. He's like 2 years old, and he goes, "Hi, Susu."
Hi, Susu.
Susu.
Bye, Susu.
Hi, Susu.
Oh, boy.
Man. Poor Susu.
Poor Susu.
Yeah. I think her name's just Susan. I don't know why we called her Susu. It's like we've known her our entire lives. We know her so well. Madison let us in on all the secrets of their friendship over the years.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Bummer.
Yeah. Bummer.
Tough night for Susu, tough night for Patrick, tough night all around here on...
Dog lovers must be very upset with this episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
Was it their dog?
It wasn't their dog, but it's always tough when you see bad things happen to animals on television, especially on Walking Dead. Walking Dead's always so mean to the animals.
Like, I wouldn't let somebody else's German Shepherd in my house under normal circumstances, let alone one covered in blood during the zombie apocalypse.
They were very trusting of that dog.
Like, oh, it's a dog.
Hey, look, it's Yeah, it's a vaguely blood-covered, angry dog. Let's let it into our house right now.
Let him in.
Let him in. But, you know, they're a very trusting family, these Clarks. I don't know how that's going to serve them moving forward.
They really are. All right. So here we are, ready to talk about episode number 3. We're halfway there.
Halfway home. But, I mean, it's been a long break in between 2 and 3. So, you know, I'm glad to have the show back.
All right. So we are back. Here we are. 3 more episodes to go. 3 more Sundays of Fear the Walking Dead. And then... regular Walking Dead, Walking Dead proper returns, and our live podcast here on Post Show Recaps will return. Josh and I will be back to talk about it all every Sunday night live after the episode at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time here on Post Show Recaps. And you want to make sure you're subscribed to our Walking Dead podcast feed at postshowrecaps.com/TWD. iTunes.
I'm getting really amped up for the return of the proper Walking Dead.
Lots of hype. Lots of hype going on.
Lots of hype. The commercials are great. Did you watch any of the commercials for it tonight?
I saw them, but I was fast-forwarding. I wanted to make sure that we got to start to record this at a timely hour.
Oh, well, we didn't do that. It's late. It's very late. No, the commercials look really good. Morgan is very prominent. It seems like there's a lot of debate raging between Rick and Morgan, and everyone in Alexandria's like, "Rick, what's going on? We don't know how we feel about you." And he's like, "Yeah, well, you should feel great. You should feel very good about me." I feel like it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, here we are, Fear the Walking Dead and episode 3 entitled The Dog.
The Dog. I am the dog.
Do you think that's what the episode should have been called?
The Dog, the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
That's what I would have called it. The Dog, the T-Dog. I really would have liked that if we'd gotten T-Dog origin story in this one.
If that was the dog's name, T-Dog.
Yeah, that's what we wanted 2 weeks ago and they disappointed us tonight.
So sorry.
The stakes were high for this one. It was a make or break episode, and without T-Dog, I'm afraid that you failed Fear the Walking Dead.
All right, so really this episode centered around Travis and his journey, which was, other than like driving past the hospital, was pretty uneventful. Like you would think I mean, I've had rougher drives in LA, not during the zombie apocalypse. Didn't hit that much traffic.
Yeah, I have so many questions about California for you. That was one of them. Was like, didn't he? He really got home pretty fast, it seemed like.
Yeah, he really did. He got home okay.
On top of that, the fact that his truck was in such like decent condition in the middle of this riot with human rioters and zombie rioters, you would think that something worse would have happened to his car. That was the most uneventful part.
Yeah. You would be surprised if there wasn't like a Molotov cocktail already in the car or something like that. But no, he had a good spot too. That's what I was even more impressed with. How did he even find a spot to park in downtown LA in the first place?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that this show is missing right now is Molotov cocktails.
I know there were a couple. I saw them.
There were a few?
Yeah, I was on Molotov cocktail watch.
Right. I'm on Mole Patrol. You're on Molotov cocktail patrol.
Yes.
Typically.
And so we saw Travis come back and we saw a bunch of people. We saw Daniel's family. What do we know their last name?
The Salazars.
The Salazars. Like yes. Yeah, with actor.
You know I love the Salazars.
Yeah, so we saw Daniel and Griselda.
Yeah, I don't know their names. Ophelia, I think, is one of them.
That's the daughter.
Oh, look at you. You're on the money.
Yeah.
You're on the money with these Salazars. I'm not bothering getting to know Daniel's wife's name, because she does not seem long for this.
Griselda.
Name. Griselda.
Yeah.
Griselda. All right.
Yeah.
I got it. Griselda. Griselda seems like she's on the way out, which is good. I believe I have her in my death draft.
Yeah, good. No, and I kind of like Daniel. Daniel is turning into the new badass. He's like the Carol of Fear the Walking Dead.
He's the Carol. He's kind of got like a Herschel thing going on, but like Herschel when he's on the other side of the farm. You know, when he's at the farm, Herschel's a little, like that's Travis right now. It's like these guys, they're not dead.
Yeah.
We can save them. We can make this work. Daniel's past that. He's like prison Herschel.
Yeah. Yeah, Travis needs to get a wake-up call. And I'm really, are you surprised that Travis is the person on this show that's like, wait a second. I mean, of him and Maddie, like he's the one who was out in the world. Like he saw what's going on. Are you surprised that
right. He's
sort of like, whoa.
Well, until tonight, he hadn't been in the kill or be killed situation. You know, well, I mean, I guess he did. Everybody, you know, him and Nick and Madison, they were in the car with what's his face that Nick ran over multiple times. So that's the closest, you know, he saw that, but he didn't have the, you know, the high school encounter that Madison had where she literally had to beat the brains in of her former colleague. That was hardcore. He hasn't been in that kind of situation yet, but he was in that situation tonight and he totally whiffed.
And he seemed to understand the severity of what was going on when he went out and got Chris and brought him back.
Right.
And seemed to be doing all of the right things up until this point. But really, now, I mean, he went into the church and he saw it with his own eyes, what was going on. So it did seem like that was a little bit of a left turn for his character to all of a sudden be the real pacifist of all this.
Right. Yeah, and you know, he's the guy in the first episode talking about the survival instincts from Jack London and all of this stuff. So you'd think that he would be a little more in tune with all of that. But I don't know. I mean, we're talking about smashing brains in and shooting people and being okay with clobbering your dead neighbor with a hammer. These are not easy things to deal with. I have no idea how I would react in this situation.
Yeah, I do think if I was in Travis's shoes and my wife wanted to, you know, bludgeon Susu with a hammer.
Yeah, what would you say? Bye, Susu.
No, I think I would say, like, no, just don't worry about this.
Leave her alone.
Like, just get out of here. What are you going to do? Isn't that going to be messy?
But then what happens if Susu breaks through the fence and comes into the Sesternino house? So now you're going to regret that. You should have let Nicole do it.
Didn't seem like Susu was getting through the fence, but I feel like there has to have been a more sanitary way than to just bludgeon her with a hammer through the fence.
What would you suggest? Is there like a long pole that you have that you could just be like 5 feet away and you could just like kind of like slowly press it through the thing?
Yeah, well, I have a samurai sword mounted over my bed.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes.
So I saw that the last time I was at your place.
Yes.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yes.
Is that costly?
No.
Yeah.
It's very cheaply made.
Uh-huh.
So I think that I would probably be on the lookout for that. In terms of the house, let's just talk a little bit about what's going on over there. So we have a total of how many people are there?
Nine people.
Nine people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a lot going on over there. We also have, you know, and Susu and Patrick, I didn't really understand why they were going there in the first place. Did you? It seemed like I was having a hard time following what the action was at that point.
Why Susu and Patrick were there, or why the Clarks were going to Susu?
Why did all of a sudden they decide to break into Susu and Patrick's house?
Because they wanted to get that shotgun.
They knew they had a shotgun.
Yeah, because they're close friends with Susu and Patrick. They're like, oh, I know Susu and Patrick. They've got a shotgun. Let's go get that shotgun.
You gotta know people real well to know where they keep their shotgun.
They know them very well. You know, she said, Madison said, this woman helped me through, you know, the death of my husband. We're very close, all this stuff. So they were obviously very close. They know where the guns are kept.
And
they know where.
Why does Susu and Patrick have a shotgun?
I don't know. In case of situations like this, I guess.
Patrick was ready in case stuff went down.
Yeah, he was ready to go. If only he hadn't been at the airport. That was really bad luck.
Yeah.
Waiting for Michonne, you have to assume.
Okay.
So that's what they were doing. I don't understand why they left the door open, why they left the door to their house open as they left.
That seems really odd.
Yeah, first you let the creepy dog in, and then you abandon your house and leave the door open. It's already dubious that you're leaving your house.
With said creepy dog inside your house.
You know, maybe send one person for the shotgun, but all three of you, and keeping the door open?
And what was going on with their labyrinth in the backyard? What is that about?
Well, it's almost Halloween.
Is that what's going on? Susu has the trick-or-treaters go through her death labyrinth?
Yeah, and they were gonna borrow the bouncy castle once the people across the street were done with it.
Yeah.
And that was going to be like the end of it. That was going to be like the final stage, the final boss area. It's like you get through the death labyrinth and then you get to the bouncy castle. It was going to be really fun. And then the zombie apocalypse decided to rain on their parade.
Yeah, it was like some sort of like garden maze that they had in the backyard. It seemed like that would be very inconvenient to get through.
It's tough, but it's worth it for the kids. Kids in the neighborhood, they
the
love
kids
it.
Love it.
Yeah, they love that garden maze.
Now, talk to me about how did Susu become a walker? Did she die? It seemed like there was like an open pill bottle on the table. Did she commit suicide?
Oh,
suicide?
Wow, suicide. That's dark. I hadn't thought about that, but that seems very likely. It does seem like she passed away and then she came back as a walker. Like it was a natural death, it seemed like, or at least it wasn't like she had been attacked. I think that the pills are, that's pretty good evidence that, you know, some medical mishap happened or, you know, she died in her sleep or something. She was across the way. It seemed like she was in a bedroom or something like that.
So Susu got a read of the situation and was like, all right, I'm out of this. I can't wait for, you know, Patrick's at the airport. I'm going to off myself.
Yeah, I got to assume that he's probably toast at this point. Little did she know that Patrick
assume.
Is some, yeah, she has assumed. And you know what they say when you assume. Make it. Asusu out of you and me.
All right. So the episode, you know, we had everything going on at the house and then there was some conversation about where we were going in terms of whether we were leaving and who was staying. And it seemed like the Salazars were just going to camp out at, you know, Maddie and Travis's house, which was very kind of them.
Casa del Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're moving in. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the new digs.
Yeah, they were just going to be taking over the house. But then we had another left turn where the National Guard came in. And I like that. I was excited to see the National Guard.
Oh, yeah. You love the National Guard.
Yeah, because to me, I think that's what's exciting about Fear the Walking Dead is seeing what the response is to the whole zombie apocalypse. Like, for me, like, the part of this that was sort of like the bottle episode where we just had everybody like hanging out at the house, that was not as interesting to me as the stuff. Okay, here comes the National Guard. Stuff is happening. We're seeing the response from a bigger perspective in terms of what's going on with these, say, nine characters that are at the house.
A little bit of a setup episode. I think that, you know, we're getting a little bit from, you know, point B. In episode two, we're trying to yada yada our way to point D, which is getting the military involved. I think that that could be very, very cool. You're right. You know, I think that a little bit of this episode was dragging out a bit to get us to that point.
Yeah, I did like everything going on with the military. I'm very fascinated.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
This seems like they got a good handle on things. I've actually been very impressed compared to what was going on downtown, where it was just all this riot happening and everything like that. Look at a good National Guard presence.
Right. Pretty solid. Gotta imagine it's not going to last.
Yeah, but I feel like they've got a good finger on the pulse. I don't understand how this gets out of whack here.
Right. Probably because we're going to have National Guard douche is going to come and screw us. Right? You know, we're going to have like one or two to five douches in this National Guard unit that's just going to spoil the whole bunch.
From what we know about The Walking Dead proper, it seems like the cities are where things really got out of hand, where we had like some evidence of like major bombings happening in Atlanta. So it seems like in the suburbs, the National Guard really just got things under control. Like, seems like any walkers that are happening, like, I was very surprised to have such a big response to the walkers. Like, did they just spot Susu from a chopper
and
then
they just
came
knew.
On down?
Yeah, they'd been watching Susu for weeks for an unrelated charge.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then they got in on this and they knew. That's why she had committed suicide. So suicide.
Yeah. So they came down and just took her out right away.
Right out. Yeah, immediately.
But it seems like they've got a really good handle on things. Now, it's a good thing they didn't open up that garbage pail.
Yeah. Don't you think, I was kind of half suspecting that, Nick, when he was walking around, like, I feel like if he just like turns a corner and the National Guard sees him, I feel like they're just going to light him up because he just looks like a walker.
Yeah. Well, I won't be complaining if that happens.
I know you won't be. He's got to change his clothes. I can't believe he hasn't done that.
Yeah.
Yet.
He does have like sort of like a dirty walker look to him.
Yeah. It's already been an overnight. I mean, like, you can change by now. I got to imagine they have some clothes in this house for him.
Yeah. And not be wearing a jacket.
Yeah, I mean, they were actually going to leave for the desert or wherever the heck they were going, and he hadn't changed yet.
Yeah.
You'd think that he'd changed. That was another question I want to ask, is the jacket thing. California weather, you're not wearing that jacket around.
Well, it depends what month,
right?
It is. I think it's football season, so maybe we can assume. I don't see any Christmas decorations up, so I think it's probably like sometime September, October. I mean, I can see.
Is that jacket weather in LA?
I don't know if it's necessarily jacket weather. I think that you might start the day in a jacket, but especially after he was puking on himself in the last episode, I feel like that maybe he should have changed his clothes at some point.
Wardrobe change.
You would think so. I mean, he's been wearing that outfit since the first episode.
Well, it hasn't been a lot of time. It's been one overnight.
It hasn't been a lot of time, but you would think that as you're going through heroin withdrawal, I imagine there's a lot of sweating involved with that. I also feel like that there is a lot of, as I mentioned, vomiting on oneself.
Right. And it's also, you don't know where you're going next. Like, even if you have an idea of like, oh, we're going to our friend's house. We're going to Aunt Carol's house. She's got a laundry machine there. We'll just change your clothes when we get there. You don't know if there's going to be a working laundry machine. You might be leaving for the road for a long while. You've got one last chance for a clean costume change. Do it. Make it happen. Make it count here at the Clark residence.
So we had Maddie, who in the previous episode, she went to the school and she picked up the, what did we decide those were, Vicodin?
I don't know. Some medicines.
Yeah, medicine. And so she was giving those to Nick. And again, he's got to be such a little jerk to his mom that he's got to snort that in front of his mom. Like, he can't even be like, hey, mom, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you risking your life in the last episode.
Is that what he did? I must have not been looking. I must have been doing something else. I thought
that's like what he was trying to do when he was like breaking up the pills. I thought he was going to be snorting it. And he said like, oh, I need to get it into my system faster.
Wow. Yikes.
So,
all right. Well, if that's how you roll, buddy, I guess.
You're talking about me or Nick?
No, Nick. Not talking about you.
Okay.
I mean, if that's how you roll, I'm not going to judge you, but it seems intense.
Yeah.
But he also has that line with his mom where he's like, I don't need you. I need the pills.
Yeah.
I need my pills, mom. That's really going to make her feel good. And especially when she has the keys to that kingdom, Nick, doesn't seem like a smart play. Doesn't seem like the right thing to say to your dealer.
Well, I was glad that she gave all of the pills to Griselda.
Griselda. How did you latch onto that name? You're usually not so good with names.
Do you forget Griselda?
I guess you don't. Maybe I just didn't hear Griselda.
I think so. I don't think
I'm going to forget it now.
Yeah, Griselda. Yeah, that's on the played by Patricia Reyes Spindola.
And that's all from memory.
That, not the actress's name, but Griselda was in my notes.
I'm going to say that was pretty good. What do you think? Are you a big Griselda fan? It seems like it.
I think she's okay. I mean,
has no chance here.
Yeah. I'm a bigger Daniel fan.
All right. Do you want to talk about Daniel some more?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we sort of like got keyed into that. He is this essential character that I think you need in every iteration of The Walking Dead. He is the badass, and he is the person who, when other people are trying to go by the old ways, he is the person, or she is the person, who is there to make those tough calls. That's probably how I'm going to be in the zombie apocalypse. I'll probably be that person.
Yeah, knowing you, I think that seems on point. You're definitely going to be that guy. So if you think that Daniel's the new Carol, what do you think his cookie recipe entails?
Molotov cocktail.
Molotov cocktails. Molotov cookie tails.
Yes. I think that's what he's going to be making. Like when he saw Travis out the window and he saw that he didn't kill Susu, he's like, he's weak.
Yeah, that was great. It's like, weak.
Yeah.
Lame. Yeah. So not only is he weak, but he's like, you're weak. You get out of here. I'm taking over your house.
Yeah. That's how much of a badass he is. He's just taking over.
Yeah.
So what do you think the plan is there for Daniel? Now, we're talking about what a realist he is. He's the person who sees how things are going, but he seems to be in denial about the state of Griselda and her foot because he's talking a tough game now. But as we would imagine, without medical treatment, and I don't think that that is a realistic possibility at this point, the foot is going to get worse. And as Travis's ex-wife, Eliza, detailed for us that she will die soon.
Right.
What do you think? How do you think we're going to see Daniel handle this?
Well, I do think that it's inevitable that this woman will die. I think that that's just what we're you know, what we come to expect with this kind of thing on this type of show. That being said, the National Guard has come in. Who knows what kind of medical situation we've got going on here now. It could be a lot better than what it was a few minutes ago. Maybe something could happen here. But Travis's ex-wife was saying, yeah, that's going to be poison. That's going to travel through her bloodstream, and she's going to be toast pretty fast. I feel like Daniel's the kind of guy that's going to do the double tap. I mean, he did a double tap to a complete stranger, so maybe he would just try to do a single tap to get it done with his wife, which sounds so bad. But I think that he's going to do it, don't you think? He'll take care of it.
Do you think that he will be the kind of guy who will go on without his spouse, or do you think that
he will leave her behind? No. So I don't think we're going to have to cross that road. I think she's going to turn, and I think that the thing that he's going to have to face is kill her or don't kill her. But I think that he'll be able to do it.
But you think that he will go on living without her? Do you see some sort of a take her out, mercy kill, and then, you know, suicide?
Yeah. No. He doesn't strike me as a suicide type of person. He strikes me as a badass who is going to be a big badass in our group of people for seasons to come, or at least for the rest of the season, maybe a little bit of next season. Then, like, something like the Dale thing will happen.
Okay. So at this point, do you feel like our heroes here are now going to be staying at the house now that they feel like the National Guard is taking over, or they feel like that they are not allowed to leave because the right. National Guard is taking over?
Yeah, I think that they'll stay here for at least a little while. Whether or not they stay here for the rest of the season, I'm not sure. I can't imagine that we're, you know, posting up here for the rest of the series, but I could see them being in lockdown here in this neighborhood for the rest of the season, and the season ends with them on the road or something like that. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to play out here. I think seeing civilization fall, being surrounded by the people that are supposed to protect us, you got to imagine that that system is going to break down as well. That's going to be fascinating to see how the National Guard falls apart. How the military presence is just going to be, it's going to transition from being this total safety net to just being a total cluster F. I think that's going to be really interesting. I think that that could play out over three episodes. I have a feeling that that is probably the majority of where we are moving forward, just based on the pace of the show to begin with. I'm interested. I'm excited. I think it's cool. I think we're in a really good spot for the show.
Let's talk about what was probably the most tweetable moment of the episode, where we saw that they let the dog into the house, and then the neighbor who came in, Peter, I think was his name?
Peter, yeah.
And he came in and then was eating the dog, and then we saw Travis walk in, and I have to say, Travis was really like, hey, Peter, could you stop eating that dog for a second? Could I talk with you?
Yeah, can we have a conversation about this? It seems like I know you're hungry, but we've got stuff in the fridge.
Yeah. And
is he a ketchup dog or a mustard dog guy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so we saw that, you know, Travis is trying to reason with him, and then of course he's going to start attacking Travis, and Daniel comes in and saves the day. But the first gunshot really just blew Peter's face off.
Right.
And then it was the second shot that really ultimately did him in. But I think that that was probably the best piece of effects work we've seen so far on Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without Peter, I think. That was spectacular. That was a really wonderful thing. I'm looking at a recap that my editor at MTV wrote, actually. And he just got this great picture of that guy, of Peter, just like with half his face off. It's like an AMC publicity shot, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah,
oh my God, that just looks awful.
It's on the IMDb of the episode,
yeah,
also.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's
it looks really, like really he's good. Just got like some sort of like sea creature on his face.
Yeah, it does. He really does. He looks like he's from the abyss. It's cool. It's really good. It's great stuff. Greg Nicotero, man, you know, he knows what's up. And I think it's cool. I'm glad that Fear the Walking Dead is easing into it. I was a little worried that this show was going to be too slow. I think I really like the pace, actually. I like the slow pace of civilization falling apart at this rate. I think it's good for a first six-episode season. I think that this is fun. You know, we know what to expect. These people do not. It's fun to watch them learn. We know more than they do. They're figuring things out fairly quickly. Some of them are not. I think that it will bite some of these people very badly. What do you think? We picked people who we thought would be safe in addition to our death draft. And you picked Travis. You thought that Travis would definitely make it out of this season alive. Yeah. Do you feel like tonight is setting up a fall for Travis?
No, I think that Travis is fine. I think that him and Maddie are the principals of this, and I kind of feel like...
Oh, she's a guidance counselor, and he's like an English teacher.
But I feel like that they are... There's so much connective tissue there. I feel like we have all these other characters that really Maddie does not have a relationship with. I mean, we have Travis's ex-wife. We have Travis's biological kid. I feel like if we lose Travis, I feel like then there's a lot of characters that's going to be not necessarily on board with Maddie. So I think... You need him still.
Yeah, I think that there's a few things that are pointing toward a tough ending for the Travis side of things. I think the fact that he was handling Peter the way that he was, the fact that he handles the Susu situation that he does, the fact that we see Daniel call him weak, the fact that Daniel says something to the effect of, like, the good people go first. And we know that to be true on Walking Dead when you think about a lot of the main characters who have died there, like, I don't know. Am I allowed to say the names of people? Can I spoil The Walking Dead on the Fear of the Walking Dead podcast, or should I tread light?
Yes. No, I think you can.
This is your official warning, right? This is the warning?
Yes.
This is the warning shot. I'm firing off two shots in the air. Spoiler alert for The Walking Dead.
Here, hit one shot to knock the face off the spoilers. All right.
And now I'm going to kill it with a spoiler. So this is like, you know, the Herschels die, the Dales die, Tyrese goes. We see the good people die on that show all the time. That seems to be T-Dog. The rule of the world. And is Travis built for this world? I mean, he could get there potentially, but as it stands right now, if he walks into another Peter situation, he's unsupervised. That dude's dead, straight up. No chance. And he even has this line to Madison when they're hugging at one point. He's like, I'm never going to leave you ever, ever, ever. Isn't that Chekhov's I'm never going to leave you? Isn't that the kind of thing where he's totally going to leave you because he's totally going to be dog meat?
All fair points. I do feel like that we are not necessarily playing by the Chekhov rules here on Fear the Walking Dead. We had a point where Chris picked up a switchblade in the barbershop, which I thought was going to be Chekhov's straight razor, and that did not come back into play.
So Tobias would have loved that.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if we are playing by all of Chekhov's rules. Let me make a counterpoint to your counter argument. Yeah, I mean, could we be seeing Travis set up here a la like a Walter White, and not to get into Breaking Bad spoilers, because I don't think we're allowed to do that. Right. Walter White started that journey as a very different person than he ended up his journey over the course of five seasons of Breaking Bad. Do you think that maybe we could look back after three seasons of Fear the Walking Dead and be saying, oh, could you remember when Travis was like the pacifist and he didn't even want to kill Susu?
Yeah, and now he's Travisburg.
Yes. And now he's like the governor of the Fear the Walking Dead Los Angeles.
I mean, that'd be fun. I would love that. That'd be great. I think that'd be very cool. That would be a cool direction for it to go in as well.
Could go either way. I mean, I could see what you're saying, but I also just feel like that we're building up Travis as such a big part of this world.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be, while a great moment, I feel like we're investing so much time into Travis that I don't know if we have the Walking Dead character that has died, that has been such a big part of the world.
Right. I feel like that's a good idea, though. I think that to build somebody up who seems like one of your main characters, a top-tier character, somebody who could go the distance on the entire show's run, I think to lose that person in season one is a real way of setting stakes and letting the audience know, don't get attached to anybody, especially because this isn't beholden to any source material. There are no Fear the Walking Dead comics. We don't know what's going to happen to any of these people. So just to yank a character like Travis or Madison off the board really suddenly, really brutally, I feel like that would be a really great lesson for this show to teach viewers. Not that I'm rooting for that, because I love Cliff Curtis. I think he's a really great actor, but I could see, you know, he's a recognizable guy. He's definitely a that guy. If you don't know him by name, Cliff Curtis, you've seen him before, you've seen his work. He's a main character on this show. For him to die very suddenly, I think would be really exciting. And I think that it would be valuable for the show, especially if we've invested so much in him. So I could see it going your way. But I just have this feeling it's not going to work out for this guy.
If this was Game of Thrones, I would buy it a lot more. But I just feel like we have not seen that yet in the Walking Dead universe through all of these seasons. And I know that Rick loses Laurie along the way, but I don't know if that was a character that we were super, I'm sure some people are super invested in, but I think that that was a character that people, a lot of people were frustrated with and kind of hoping for her to die because they were frustrated with her.
Well, so, it seemed like that was like the last like cleaning of house of the Darabont era. It was like a lot of the people that Frank Darabont brought on were just like all just capped. like Dale capped, Andrea capped, Lori capped.
Yeah.
A lot of those people were just like, Frank Darabont's not here, I'm out. I'm done. Write me out.
But until the point that we can say that The Walking Dead kills off a Rick or a Carl or a Michonne or a Daryl or a Carol, I don't feel like we've had that yet in The Walking Dead universe.
Yeah, I agree. And that's actually something that the comic does a lot better than the show. The show does kill people, but they're typically, you know, people that you can afford to lose. There have been some people that have been really heartbreaking to lose. But by and large, there's like an elite stratosphere that feels untouchable on that show. Fear the Walking Dead is just starting out, though. And I think, I guess my point is, we're at a place in season one where we're just starting to get to know these people. And what you're talking about is what we're used to with The Walking Dead, that if they took a Game of Thrones approach, I think it would really put people on notice. And I think that that would be a really strong move for this show. So I hope that they go there for the creative. I think creatively, I think that that would be the wisest choice. But we'll see. Still three episodes left.
Okay, let's talk about another couple of quick things. The airplane that we saw shots of, is that going to be the airplane that we're going to see the webisodes about?
Yeah, probably, right? That feels like a good deal.
I mean, that seemed like that was just sort of a weird, random thing to have in the episode. And then the airplane looked like it was turning, but we didn't see it crash or anything on the ground. So I feel like that was probably something that just seemed like a little out of place.
Yeah, we got to see when is civilization officially going to shut off, and like when is air traffic not happening anymore? When are we not flying places anymore?
Because according to Patrick, he said the airport was shut down.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, well, it was like an emergency landing.
Yeah.
We have to get these guys down.
Is there anything else you want to touch on before we get into some questions?
I really liked that shot of everybody leaving in the car and the electricity going out across Los Angeles. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that was really well done.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Poor Alicia, who has to come to terms with the fact that her BF is totally dead.
Yeah, that was a little frustrating that they didn't tell Alicia what was going on, and then she had
to... There's a communication issue going on right now in the show.
There definitely is.
We gotta let each other know what's going on here. The stakes are too high.
Of who knows what. So I felt like that they really could have told Alicia, if not exactly what was going on, I felt like they could have filled her in a little bit more about things that are the danger of what's going on.
All right. You want to get into some questions here?
Of course I do.
We got a bunch of questions here on postshowrecaps.com. As you guys know, if you don't know, now you're about to know. Go to postshowrecaps.com every Sunday before we record these podcasts. We have the page up. You can leave your questions there. Got a ton this week. We got one from Mike Jean Greco, who writes in, Nick seems to be the first to realize what is really going on. Interesting contrast to the first episode where he was convinced that it was all a trip. Yeah, you get it from Nick. Nick is the guy who says, she's not sick. She's dead. And no one else seems to be like, wait, really? Oh, that makes so much sense. It's more, no, she's not.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, he seems to be the only one who really knows what's up.
Yeah, so Nick does know what's up, and I do like him as that character. It's just that when he's like breaking into people's houses to seemingly, get like another drug fix?
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of stuff that makes me not like Nick.
Right. Do you know what makes me not like Nick?
That he wears the same outfit all the time?
Yeah! Yes! Change your clothes. Take a shower.
Let me give you one. This is a tweet that came in from our good friend Kurt Clark, who said, So, are we to believe that the family finished a full game of Monopoly in one evening? Wow. Zombies I'll buy, but this?
Did they finish it, or did they just decide to stop because all the things were happening with the dog barking and the home invasion?
Well, the loser had to put the game away, so that does imply that there was a loser to the game.
What are the rules? If the game is suspended, if we can't continue with the game and you were losing the game to begin with, are you now just officially the loser?
I mean, I think maybe if they agreed to some sort of, like, okay, you're losing.
Right.
But the family was really into Monopoly.
So that was strange. because it's only been a few hours since the fit has hit the Shan. We have Nick had killed his drug dealing friend only a few hours earlier, had vomited all over himself even less time than that. Madison went to the school and bashed in Principal Douche's brains. Mm-hmm. She came home and had a shame shower. And now they're playing Monopoly?
Right. Alicia is very concerned about the whereabouts and whether her boyfriend is alive or not.
But yeah, but not as concerned about getting Park Place. Gotta get Park Place.
Yeah, so that was definitely...
You think that Madison, every time she plays Monopoly, goes for Madison Avenue?
Oh, very good.
It's just like, no one touches that. Everyone knows that's mine.
Yeah.
Claimed.
Yeah.
What would be some good board games for the zombie apocalypse? I was thinking Don't Wake Daddy would be good practice.
Yeah, it's because you're trying to be quiet.
You want to be quiet. I think Mousetrap would be good. So you can set up elaborate traps.
Yeah, you wouldn't want something like Trouble because that bubble would be like noisy and attract the walkers.
Well, I mean, so is Don't Wake Daddy, but that's what I mean. It's like a survival mechanism. It's like you really don't want to wake Daddy. There are severe consequences if you lose this game.
Yeah, Monopoly would probably be good at some point when you're like camped out on like Herschel's farm and there's nothing to do. It's really long.
Right, but what's the practical application? I guess it's teaching you to like conserve money, resources type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like Herschel, when he's trying to like teach other people to be doctors, maybe like Operation would be good.
Operation, yeah.
Yeah, but again, like the light and the buzzer would probably only attract more walkers to the area.
Are you good at Operation?
I really haven't played it as an adult to tell you whether or not I'm good at it or not.
Uh-huh. I always get stuck on the funny bone.
I would go out on a limb and say I am not good at Operation.
Yeah. We've got a question in from Aisha Prater, who says, oh my God, why is Travis acting like this when in episode 1 and 2, he saw what was going on and wasn't afraid, obviously going to the church alone. And now in episode 3, he went all Herschel.
It's a thing. It's a thing we're talking about.
Do you feel like this is inconsistent with what we've seen from Travis so far? Is that a gripe that you have?
I wouldn't say that it is a gripe, and I can't even say that it's inconsistent. It does, to me, feel a bit odd that this seems like it's a character trait that just, like, this is, like, don't call Marty McFly a chicken,
right,
where in Back to the Future 1, that wasn't a thing, but all of a sudden it is a thing now about Travis.
Yeah. In Back to the Future 1, do they ever call him a chicken? Does it come up?
I don't think it does. I think that's just sort of like a character trait that just sort of gets
it
built in.
It appears in BTTF,
right,
too.
Maybe it's something from the change timeline.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That, like, suddenly he just has a very sensitive reaction to chickens. Damn.
Yeah. Nobody calls me chicken.
Damn. All right, this is a question from Owen M. Owen M. says, was it the right call to stay till morning, or should they have listened to Madison and left at night? Interesting question. What's your take?
I was definitely in team wait till morning.
Yeah, I think that's the move.
You're driving at night, like in a pickup truck, and there's no street lights, no nothing. You don't know what's out there.
How long until daybreak at this point? It's got to be at maximum 8 hours. You can make it 8 hours.
Yeah, I would say definitely I was in the camp, wait till morning.
House of 9 people, you can wait 8 hours. You can have shifts. One person is up every hour.
I think so.
Because you have to account for the fact that one of them can't walk around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that works.
I was definitely saying they should wait till morning.
I think so. I think that's the move. And then Aisha Prater says, I say stay until morning, but my God, stop with the lights and the windows.
What's with the lights in the windows?
They have like all the lamps on and everything.
Oh, you're saying turn off the lights?
Yeah, turn off the lights.
I felt like the electricity thing was a little inconsistent. It seemed like the whole power grid went out, but then it seemed like back at Madison's house, it was like a little bit, like it was off, but then it was back on.
They haven't turned off the dark for good.
Yeah.
That's coming.
It's coming.
Still in previews.
Yeah. And I didn't get to say before when we were talking about this, by the way, that was really well done also. Like, it was definitely like feels like that they were driving up on like Mulholland or something like that, like when all the lights went out. And that was a really cool way to do that.
Yeah, it was great. This is from Chelsea 1905. If things are so bad that Travis is now burying people in the backyard, why is he still putting the trash on the curb?
It's a good question. I mean, yeah. I went through this week because with Labor Day, you never really quite know when the trash is coming.
You never know.
You never know.
It does not seem like the trash is coming ever again. The garbage man does not seem like he is coming by anytime.
Yeah. To be fair, I believe Travis buried the dog in the backyard and put the man in the garbage can.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yes. I felt like that's what the case was.
Oh, wow.
Felt like that Peter was put in the garbage pail, but I felt like it was the dog that got buried.
What's the move with the guy? What do you do? Where do you bury Peter? Do you throw him away? Do you like put him in a corner somewhere and hope
throw
that
him
somebody
in the fire.
Comes and
throw
takes
him in the
care
fire.
Of it? That's what Daniel was saying. Says burn him.
That's what my friend Brad would say too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what's the move? What do you do with this guy?
I think I put him back in his own backyard.
Yeah, just dump him.
Yeah. Like I don't know if we need a proper burial for Peter.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Daniel, we're like making up his own rules. Well, you gotta burn him.
Gotta burn him. It stops the contagion. Look at him. He really is a true Herschel.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, I saw the first half of season 4 of The Walking Dead. And on that show, they needed to start burning the bodies to stop the spread of the illness.
Yes.
So he knew.
He knew. He
was Herschel.
A pioneer. He's ahead of his time.
Yeah, he really is. Chelsea 1905 also said, would you ever approach a man eating a dog? How much do these people need to see before they understand the gravity of the situation? And then Paul responded to Chelsea 1905 saying, remember the bath salts thing a few years ago. I would imagine most people think that the person's on drugs.
Yeah, this is probably just a sticking point here, I think, with a lot of the listeners of, has Travis seen enough at that point in time that he walks into the house and sees Peter eating a dog? And I think my first instinct was like, why is there a dog in my house? Like, whose dog is this?
And then why is this strange man eating the dog? Somebody call the cops.
So has he seen enough to just be like, you're sick, based on, I mean, he did see the drug dealer as a walker. He saw what was going on with Alicia's boyfriend. He saw everything going on in downtown LA. He saw the police officer walkers biting into people that were on the street. God right. knows what else he saw on the way back there. He saw the clips on the news of the person that was like standing up after getting shot by the police. So has he seen enough at this point in time to know, oh, I can't reason with this person?
Right. Yeah, at this point, we've got, again, from Paul, who wrote in and said, Madison and Travis have no excuse for their continued skepticism about the zombies, especially Madison after the principal.
Yeah.
So at least Paul thinks that Travis, he should figure this out by now.
I don't know if Madison had that much of skepticism. I mean, we saw her with Eliza talking about how, hey, if that happens to me, I want you to take me out. Seems like she has a better grasp of the situation than Travis does.
Yeah, that was a real Ripley to Hicks moment. It was pretty cool.
I did like that. Yeah, that was good. Really? She's really good.
Madison, Kim Dickens?
She's great.
Loving Kim Dickens.
Yes.
They can't kill her off.
No.
If you kill off Kim Dickens, then everything I said about how cool it would be to kill off a main character in the first season, I take it back.
Take it back.
Can't do it to Kim Dickens.
No.
This is from our good buddy, R. Philly, who says, what's the over-under on how many episodes before Granny Salazar turns and they have to put her down? When are we going to be saying goodbye, Granny Salazar?
I want to say by the end of next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
That soon.
I don't think she's going to make it much longer, right?
I'm drawing first blood on the death draft, right?
I guess so.
It seems like that's happening. You've got Liza, Tobias, and Nick. I have Chris, who's Travis's son. I have Daniel Salazar's wife, and I have Alicia.
Yeah.
I think I'm drawing first blood.
I think so, too. And I think that it can't be much longer than... It's definitely by the end of this season. The question is it next week? Is it the week after?
I think it's got to be... It's got to be... I don't think it's going longer than 5.
Yeah. The question is it 4 or 5?
Yeah. That is the question. Do you want to take a bet? You're saying 4?
I'll say 4.
I'll go 5.
Okay.
I'll go with 5. Here's another question. This is, again, from Mike Jean Greco, who writes, and in some ways, I feel like Daniel is being smart in not joining the others, as he's clearly the most fit for this type of situation and would have less people to protect. On the other hand, he is only one man and everyone has to sleep. What do you think his best decision in this scenario would be? What do you think, Rob? You get the chance to war again to Daniel Salazar. You can either stay behind at Casa del Clark or you can pack up and hit the road and go to the very, very vague spot in the desert that they're all planning to go to.
Oh, I think that Daniel has the right idea all around here. I mean, we don't know what his house is. I mean, I would imagine maybe Maddie's house is nicer than his house. So he's upgrading his house. I mean, his wife is already gimpy on one foot. He kind of feels like Travis is an idiot and doesn't want to go off with him and ultimately get killed or die with Travis. So he's like, yeah, okay, you guys leave. I'll be good here. Let me just hang out in your house, and this is a nicer neighborhood than I live in, probably.
Yeah, it's nice. I like this place.
Yeah. See ya. Bye, guys.
You got Monopoly here.
Don't forget to write.
Yeah. You know the address.
Yes.
Send us a postcard from the desert.
I think he's good. I think this is a good plan.
This is a final question from Emily Stobbs. What do you think about when Daniel said, good people are the first to die? In season 4, when we re-meet Morgan, he told Rick that the weak are the ones that inherit the earth. Do these two statements ring true, or is one more true over the other?
So, and by the way, Emily Stobbs, a great friend of the podcast.
Right. I was going to also say Emily Stobbs, I believe that's season 3.
But that being said, yeah, it's like the weak are like the Father Gabriels of the world that are just like going to go hide when stuff goes, you know, gets bad.
Right, like the you and me's of the world is what I'm trying to say.
So maybe we're set up well here.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because I feel like the good are the noble, and are those the people that are like, hey, Susu, let me go try to do a solid for Patrick.
Yeah, and I think that what Morgan, when he says that to Rick, means when he says the weak are the ones that inherit the earth, I don't think that he means like the physically weak. I think he means, you know, people who are survival instincts wise, they're strong. Self-preservation is a skill that these people have, but morally, probably, their moral fiber is really what is not so great.
Yeah. It's fun stuff to think about.
Did you like it when Travis was burying the body and Susu was in the fence and he's just like, hi, Sue.
Yeah, line of the night.
Hi, Susu.
Line of the night. Hi, Susu. Well done.
Yeah, it's just like my nephew Hudson.
Yeah, I believe he said good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Susu.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated.
Yeah, because I mean, it's she's the walker, and she's just like going on and on. He's just like, morning. Like he said it, delivered it as if she was like the normal person there.
Can I say something?
That's all we do here.
I'm allowed to, right? So I thought that this was a fairly inconsistent episode. That being said, I'm really enjoying this show.
Yeah.
I'm having a very good time with Fear the Walking Dead, even though I thought tonight was a little wobbly. I like the world. I like the fall of civilization. I like these characters. I think this is fun.
Yeah, I felt like the episode was a bit slow. I felt like, especially in between from the time that we got to where they shot Peter in the face till when the National Guard shows up, though. I felt like it was, you know, starting to slow down.
Uh-huh, a little bit. But I think, like, the highs are pretty good.
Highs are high.
I liked it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it is a wobbly episode, but I'm liking this world. I'm liking these characters. I'm interested in where it's going to go. I'm really interested now that we've got the police presence, or rather the National Guard presence. I think it could be really good. I'm really looking forward to next week.
Yeah. If we were just going to be hanging out at the house waiting for stuff to go down, I think I would have been not as excited as to have, okay, National Guard is showing up where, you know, wheels are in motion.
You wouldn't want to watch an episode 4 that's just the Monopoly game. We're just doing it. We're going all in.
Right. Yeah. All right. One last thing before we start to wind this down. I read a interesting article that came out, I think, in the days following the last Fear the Walking Dead podcast that we had done, which was from uprocks.com. And it was an article that was written by Dustin Rolls, who talked about, the headline is, "The major strength in The Walking Dead is the biggest weakness of Fear the Walking Dead." And I wanted to get your take on it. And basically what he says in this article is that in The Walking Dead, the walkers are not actually that big of a threat. It's really the people that are there are the threat in The Walking Dead. Whereas in Fear the Walking Dead, the threat is actually the walkers, who are just sort of like, you know, these boogeymen that just come and get people. And maybe as we move along, that will shift. But what the author is saying is that that's what makes The Walking Dead so interesting. It's the people that are actually the antagonists. Where here, it's just like this sort of like natural disaster menace, which is chasing people here in Fear the Walking Dead. Do you think there's something to that?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. But I also think that we're pushing right up to the edge where those two things are going to collide. You know, I think that especially with the military presence that's now in the neighborhood, I feel like it's not going to take long for that to go bad. And I think that those people who seem friendly now, who seem useful now, I think Travis is like, oh, everything's going to be good now. The National Guard's here. Now that those people are in town, I feel like it's going to be very bad news very quickly. And I think that that complaint is going to go away pretty fast. I think that the people are going to be the danger here on Fear the Walking Dead. But at the same time, we're just seeing this world collapse. If the zombies aren't one of the hugest threats, if not the number one threat, it's a strange show. So just by where we are, by virtue of where we are in the timeline, the walkers have to be a bigger threat than maybe they are on the proper show, where we've settled into the apocalypse. We're a few years into this new world order, where people and, you know, people like Terminus and the governor and things like that, and the wolves, whoever's coming after Alexandria, you know, that's really where it's starting to get really interesting. We haven't gotten to that place yet, but I think that we're about to start. Feels like we're right at that moment.
All right, Josh. So here we are. We are ready to go. Back half of the first season of Fear the Walking Dead still to come. We'll be back again after episode 4 next Sunday night on September 20th with the next episode of our Fear the Walking Dead recap. Anything else before we sign off?
You got a hashtag for this week?
Well, I'd love to make it Sue Suicide, but we will.
It's taboo.
Let's abstain.
Let's not taboo buzzer. I would buzz that. Yeah, let's do. How about hashtag buy Susu?
Bye Susu. Bye Susu.
Bye Susu. Hashtag buy Susu. Tweet that to Rob at Rob Cesternino and myself at Round Howard. We'll be back next week.
In addition to Fear the Walking Dead, we're also working on something new. Not Sue. Working on something new here on Post Show Recaps. Yeah. Can you set that up, Josh?
Yeah, we're working on a little something new here on Post Show Recaps. There's a lot of TV out there, and there's only so many of us and so much capacity to cover all of that TV. So we're working on something that's going to solve that problem for everybody, and that's going to start at the end of this week. Keep an eye out on postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Be subscribed, and you won't miss it. But let's just say when we said goodbye, Grandma, a little bit of that is bleeding into Post Show Recaps this week.
Okay. All right. Very, very coy.
Very cool. Yeah, we're going to watch The Bastard Execution. We're going to talk about it.
Okay. All right, good stuff. All right, everybody. Looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say on postshowrecaps.com. We also would love to have you subscribe to our Walking Dead podcast feed. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. We always appreciate it when you leave us feedback and star ratings on iTunes. postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.